Hey everybody, and welcome back to Med Talks. In this episode, we'll be exploring COVID treatments and prevention methods, and specifically, what important things you should know to keep you and your loved ones safe and healthy.
Hi Professor, my family and I got our first dose of the vaccine a couple days ago, and we had moderate side effects from the vaccine. My grandmother is doing much better, but she is still hospitalized, unfortunately.
That's good news. At least your grandmother is getting better, and she's in good hands.
Professor, is there any way to prevent COVID from infecting us without getting the vaccine?
Of course. If you wear a mask and follow social distancing, that does eliminate approximately 98% of the chances you'll be infected with COVID.
Yeah, I have been following the guidelines that the government officials have instituted. But is there something more I can do to reduce my chances of infection even further?
Yes, there are some things you can do. Although this may sound cliche, using hand sanitizer and washing your hands regularly and properly will also help with containing the spread of the virus. And always, try to reduce facial contact with your hands, because your hands are also a transmission pathway for the virus.
Will do. So how do people who might have been exposed to COVID take precautionary measures?
Another method is called quarantine. A word you must have heard a lot.
Yes, I have heard that word a lot. But what exactly does quarantine mean, and why does it work?
Quarantine insists that people who might have been exposed to COVID stay in their homes and limit all possible physical contact with the outside world. By doing this, people have a much lower chance of getting COVID, since they have very little contact with other people. Although this method can be very unpleasant, since people cannot leave their homes as much as they would like to, it is one of the best and safest ways to limit the spread of the virus until you experience no symptoms or have tested negative for COVID.
Oh, okay, I see. So quarantine is sort of like airplane mode on our phones, which blocks the internet connection until you've left the airplane. But instead of phones and an internet connection, however, quarantine is how people limit their contact with the outside world until they confirm that they do not have COVID.
That is a good comparison. On a side note, though, quarantine used to be the predominant prevention method until the vaccine was developed.
Yes, I remember in the previous lesson you spoke about the Pfizer vaccine and its effectiveness in preventing COVID. But what methods do doctors use to treat people with COVID?
Some of the common medications that doctors give to treat patients with mild to moderate symptoms are dexamethasone, remdesivir, and also anticoagulation drugs, which are also called blood thinners.
Oh yeah, I heard of some of these before. Wasn't remdesivir the medication that was given to former President Trump when he was infected with COVID?
Yes, remdesivir was the drug given to former President Trump. At that time though, remdesivir was still an experimental drug and was not accessible to the public. But if I'm not mistaken, remdesivir was made public several weeks following the incident.
Yeah, I remember now. I also heard about a medication that was called hydroxychloroquine or hydrochloroquine or something.
Yes, there is a drug called hydroxychloroquine, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that one. Is that also useful in treating patients with COVID? Because I remember last year there was a lot of talk about this drug on the news.
Hydroxychloroquine is primarily used to treat malaria and several inflammatory diseases, including lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. It is a drug that is inexpensive and readily available. Early reports of this drug's effects on COVID were promising, suggesting that patients with severe symptoms of COVID-19 improved more quickly when given hydroxychloroquine. However, later a clinical trial was done by researchers, and it demonstrated that hydroxychloroquine did not have any significant differences in effects compared to the placebo. After that, the NIH recommended against the use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19 in both hospitalized and non-hospitalized patients.
Ah, okay, I see. So it wasn't an effective method. Therefore, it was recommended that people do not use hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID.
Exactly.
And also, Professor, there was also something about antibodies and how that could be used to treat COVID, right? Or did I hear that wrong?
No, you heard that perfectly right. Health officials are currently using monoclonal antibodies to treat non-hospitalized adults and children over the age of 12 with mild to moderate symptoms. They're also using it to treat those who have been recently tested positive for COVID-19 and those who are at risk for developing severe COVID symptoms or being hospitalized for them.
But how exactly does monoclonal antibodies treat the virus?
Monoclonal antibodies are man-made versions of the antibodies that our bodies naturally make to fight invaders, such as the COVID virus. The monoclonal antibody therapies that were authorized by the FDA attack the coronavirus's spike protein, making it more difficult for the virus to attach to and enter human cells.
How many monoclonal antibody treatments are currently approved by the FDA?
There are currently two monoclonal antibody treatments that are currently approved by the FDA. One treatment is from Regeneron, and the other one is made by the company Eli Lilly. Keep in mind, though, that these are not the only treatments available to treat COVID. Another therapy is called convalescent plasma.
Could you explain how convalescent plasma helps treat the virus?
When people recover from COVID-19, their blood contains antibodies that their bodies produced to fight the coronavirus and help them get well. Antibodies are found in plasma, a component of the blood. Convalescent plasma, literally plasma from recovered patients, has been used for more than 100 years to treat a variety of illnesses from measles to polio, chickenpox, and SARS. It is widely believed to be safe. A clinical trial found that patients who received convalescent plasma within 3 days of developing symptoms were 48% less likely to develop severe COVID illness compared to patients who received a placebo. However, compared to the placebo and the standard treatment, convalescent plasma did not significantly improve the risk of death or the length of hospital stay or the need for a ventilator.
Oh, okay. But where did researchers get the plasma from?
Researchers and health officials get the plasma from donations. In order to donate plasma, a person must meet several criteria. They have to have tested positive for COVID-19, recovered, have no symptoms for 14 days, currently test negative for COVID-19, and have high enough antibody levels in their plasma. A donor and patient must also have compatible blood types. Once plasma is donated, it's screened for other infectious diseases such as HIV.
So, how many patients can one plasma donation help?
Each donor produces enough plasma to treat 1 to 3 patients.
Oh, okay. And also just curious, after the donation, is the donor more susceptible for infections or diseases?
Good question. I can see the reasoning behind your question, but donating plasma, however, should not weaken the donor's immune system, nor make the donor more susceptible to getting reinfected with the virus.
Oh, okay. That is good to hear. Is there any medicine that is over-the-counter that I can take whenever I feel like I may have been infected with COVID?
Yes, there are. Ibuprofen, a common over-the-counter medication, has been reported to provide some relief of COVID symptoms. However, these are only observations and not based on scientific studies, though. Additionally, there have been some instances where vitamin supplements have helped treat COVID-19. Vitamin D may protect against COVID-19 in 2 ways. First off, it may help boost our body's natural defense against viruses and bacteria. Secondly, it may help prevent an exaggerated inflammatory response, which has been shown to contribute to severe illness in some people with COVID-19. Some critically ill patients with COVID-19 have been treated with high doses of intravenous vitamin C, as well in the hope that it'll hasten recovery. However, there is no clear or convincing scientific evidence that it works for COVID-19 infections, and it is not a standard part of treatment for this virus.
Oh, okay. But I still don't understand. Why are there not a lot of medications and therapies to treat COVID?
Because COVID is a virus, scientists have to develop a specific medication called an antiviral drug. An antiviral drug must be able to target the specific part of a virus's life cycle that is necessary for it to reproduce. In addition, an antiviral drug must be able to kill a virus without killing the human cells it occupies. and viruses are highly adaptive. Because they reproduce so rapidly, they have plenty of opportunities to mutate with each new generation, potentially developing resistance to whatever drugs or vaccines we develop.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now. I didn't even realize it was time to go. Thank you so much for the valuable information today, and I will stop by next time if I have more questions.
Of course. Have a good day. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our third episode of MedTalks and the last episode of the COVID series. We hope you liked it. If you want to contact us or want more information, check out our Instagram page at MedTalks_official. Stay tuned for our next season, which is going to be focused on cancer. Next episode will be about the symptoms and spread of cancer, which is going to air on June 28th. Until then, stay safe and see you next time on MedTalks.